Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Are you telling others about the good news? You're sharing with others about the promises of God. Very important for us to tell others what God has been telling us. He's been telling us some good things, hasn't he? And it's important for us to tell others. I mean, very important. It's obviously very important to those that have never heard. They've never heard the kind of things you and I are hearing. I mean, we are hearing amazing things. God is revealing to us incredible things from his word. And it is not to be the best kept secret in town. We are to share it. We're to get it out. We're to help other people hear it and know about it. We want to tell the good news. I said we want to tell the good news. We want to tell the good news for the sake of others, that they might be saved, that they might come into the saving knowledge of the Lord, and they come into the revelation of all his wonderful promises. And we want to tell it for our own sake, because to tell others what God has told you is your protection. It's your protection in life from evil. And we see that over in Revelation chapter 12. And it says here, Revelation 12, verse 11, and they, talking about those who have faith in Jesus Christ, they overcame him. That's talking about the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Notice how Christians overcome the devil. Of course, number one, they overcome him by the word of God. Right? The word of God. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. We have a blood covenant with God that guarantees us divine protection. But yet, all these things need to be testified about. We need to testify of the blood. We need to testify of the word of God, the promises of God. We got to testify of what God has done for us, what he's doing in us, what he wants to do through us. We got to open our mouths and share the good news. We got to let other people know the good news that has been told us. If we really believe the word of God, if we really believe in this amazing salvation, this amazing deliverance from every evil thing here in this life and in eternity, we have been delivered from a hell, from eternal damnation. And we know from the words of Jesus that the majority of the world is headed towards that horrific place. But we've got good news to tell them. There's another way. There's the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the way of the word of God. And we got to preach the good news. We got to proclaim. We got to declare the good news to others before it's too late. And then, of course, how God wants us to be prosperous and healed and blessed coming in and blessed going out. Man, this is amazing good news. He has guaranteed us prosperity and health, divine protection. I mean, what an abundant, overflowing, wonderful life we can have, and we do have in Jesus Christ. What amazing promises that we have in him. And if we really believe it's that wonderful, why in the world would we not be looking diligently to tell others, especially when we see so many around us every day that are hurting, that are struggling, that are dealing with infirmity, that don't have answers, they're confused, they don't know where God is in all this mess, and we know. We know. We've got the answers. We've got the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life. We've got to get the word out. But not only for the sake of those that need to hear it, but it's for our own sakes. Notice, it's how we overcome. It's how we overcome the wicked one. It's how we will overcome temptation, tests, and trials that the enemy would bring against us in life. It is imperative for us to share the good news so that we live a victorious, overcoming life. It's a big part of sealing the deal, of consummating the promises of God that we have believed, have we have heard, believed, and embraced. We've got to consummate the promises of God in our life by sharing it with others. It can't just stop with us hearing it, believing it, embracing it, and that's it. You got to seal the deal. You got to consummate the promises of God in your life by sharing it with others. I think this is why a lot of Christians, although they hear it and believe it, are not walking in the fullness of it. It's because they're not very interested in telling others about it. But we've got to tell others the good news. I said we've got to tell others the good news. I'm reminded of over in 2 Kings. Why don't you go there with me? 2 Kings chapter 7. An enemy army had surrounded Jerusalem. And the people in Jerusalem could not come out. They were locked inside their city, because this enemy army, multitude of people, were all around them. After a while, the food ran out. The water supply began to run out. People were doing desperate things to try to survive. People were dying in the city because of the famine that was in the city. And so there were these lepers. They were starving to death just like everybody else. And they thought, you know, let's just go over to the enemy army and just turn ourselves into them. We'll just surrender to these guys. And maybe, you know, who knows? They might let us live and they might feed us something. What's the worst that can happen? If they kill us, we're going to die anyway because of the famine. So we got nothing to lose. Let's go on over there. And so they went over to the Syrian army. And as they came into the camp, the Syrian army, the Lord had caused them to hear the sound of horses and chariots and the sound of a great army. The Syrians panicked and they thought, the Israelites have hired the Egyptians to come and rescue them. And meanwhile, nobody was coming. But they all panicked and took off in fear. And man, they were dropping their weapons on the road. They left all their food. They left all their tent with all their treasures and everything else intact. And they took off running. These lepers, they come walking in. They don't know what to expect. And they look and they see stuff just strewn all over the place. And they start walking around and they realize nobody's here. The whole army's gone. And then they start smelling the pot roast that's sitting there on the fire. And they look around and they see fresh baked bread with the butter still running down the side of it. And they begin to see all this food. And so, oh man, they just begin to eat. And then they begin to go through the tents and they see gold and silver and all these precious treasures. And so they begin to grab everything they can and they find a place to try to hide these things. And I mean, they're all excited because God had caused this great deliverance for the children of Israel. But the children of Israel still locked inside the city, starving to death. They still think the enemy army is surrounding them. They don't know the Lord has delivered them. They are totally unaware that the Lord has delivered them big time. and he has provided food for them in abundance. He has provided prosperity for them. There is wealth, there is riches, there are all these things all around them, and they don't know it. Here they remain locked up in the city. But these lepers know about it. And they're running around, and they're gathering as much as they can. And then the Bible says in chapter 7 of verse 9, then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. How many people know our gospel is good news? This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Seemed like they had some kind of spiritual discernment. They understood what they're doing is not right, and they're going to get in trouble for this. They're going to reap what they've sown. They're allowing people to starve. They're allowing people to suffer that could be getting help, and they're not helping them. And they understood that, hey, this isn't good. We're going to end up reaping what we're sowing here. We're going to get ourselves in a whole lot of trouble. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. Let us go tell. Let us go tell. Let's go tell what? The good news. Let's go tell the good news. Notice these lepers, uneducated, never went to Life of Faith Bible Church, never heard the Living the Life broadcast, didn't have a Bible like we have today, New and Old Testament, and yet they understood, hey, this is a day of good news, and here we are remaining silent, and if we continue to do this, some kind of punishment, some kind of judgment, some kind of evil thing is going to happen to us. And we're going to end up losing all these good things that we have. We can't be selfish and just hoard these things up for ourselves. We have to share the good. We have to tell somebody the good news. We can't just keep it all to ourselves. We can't just sit here in the house of God just eating it all up and gathering it all in without any interest of the people that right now are sealed in by Satan's deceptions. And they don't know. They don't know there's another way. They don't know that there's an abundant life just waiting right outside the gates of their lives. It's right there. It's right there. And we walk past them, and we're shoving the promises of God in our pockets, and we're just doing everything, and we're just hoarding all the promises of God, walking around claiming the promise of God, and we're not taking care of other people. This is a bad thing. This is not a good thing. We have to tell people the good news. It's evil to hear good news and not care to share it with others. Think about that. It's an evil thing. Telling others what you've been told is vital to walking in victory in life yourself. If we're going to lay hold of the promises of God and be able to hang on to the promises of God and retain this good news that we're hearing and experiencing, then we've got to share it. We've got to tell it to others. Because it's as you give it, it's given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So we need to keep giving it, sharing it, telling it to others, helping others to lay hold of it and experience it. And as we do, it comes more and more alive in us, and it's increased in us, and more is measured back to us. But if we don't give it, then we're going to end up losing it. And people, though they're claiming the promises of God, find themselves diminishing in every good thing. They find increase becoming more and more difficult. I don't understand. I have believed, I have heard it, I believe it, and I've embraced the promises of God. And yet, I feel like I'm going backwards more than I'm going forward. That's right, because in order to go forward, you've got to consummate what you have heard, and you've got to tell it to other people. And then it will be measured back to you even more. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So we just got to get testifying minded, witnessing minded. We got to get in the mindset of telling others. Jesus said in Matthew 10:27, he said, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach or proclaim on the housetops. That's a command. There are spiritual laws connected to that. He says, whatever I tell you, what do you need to do? Speak it. Tell it to others. And get aggressive. Get aggressive. And you know, the more you do tell it, the more kind of naturally aggressive you become. The more you get out of your little shell, the more you break out of yourself to tell it to others, to share it with others, the more confident you'll become in sharing it with others. Because I don't remember too many times where I've shared the good news with others and got a bad response. I mean, not everybody I've shared it to got saved. They didn't respond positively that way in getting saved. But, you know, most of the time they at least say thank you to me. But you got to start telling it. It's a command from Jesus. To not speak would be a violation of a sacred trust. He's entrusted to us this gospel. We've got to share it. It's our own, it's for our own protection and our own prosperity. To walk in the promises of God for ourselves, we have to share it with others. I'm reminded of Esther and how there was a plot against the Jews, and she was in a position of authority to do something about it. How many people know we have authority in the name of Jesus to do something about the devil who is plotting against mankind, who is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, and you and I are in the king's palace. You and I are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We got access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's given us his signet ring. We've got the name of Jesus. We've got authority over the devil. We can do something about it. I said we can do something about it. Esther was in that same type of position here in her government. She was in a position of authority to do something about what was being plotted against the Jewish people. This plot that was inspired of Satan. How do we overcome him? By the word of our testimony. By the word of our testimony. We can't remain silent. I said we can't remain silent. Esther chapter 4, verse 13. Mordecai, Esther's uncle, who had raised her, told the people that were around him that had access at that time to Esther. He had a message for her. And he told them. It says, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Notice, Mordecai, by the Spirit of God, this is a prophetic word. He is speaking by inspiration. Again, we see that spiritual law in operation. If you remain silent and you don't use your authority, you don't use what God has given you to help others and deliver others, if you just try to keep it to yourself and love your life so that you're trying to save yourself and you don't share it with others, he says, you will perish. Even though you're in this great place of authority, right there with the king. Everybody else will get deliverance. It'll get to him. God's going to deliver these people. But he wants to use you. You've got to tell the good news. You've got to use your authority. You've got to speak up. I said, you got to speak up. You can't remain silent. Again, we see another witness here in the scriptures that by holding it in, we are setting ourselves up for trouble. We're setting ourselves up for trials and tests. I've had enough of trials and tests. How about you? I don't think we need to go into the business of setting ourselves up with trials and tests. I think we need to understand this spiritual principle and start telling the goodness, start giving, start using what God has given us to help others, to rescue others. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, we see how the whole earth was taken over by Satan, the devil. How did he take over the world? How did he overcome mankind, who was given dominion over the whole earth? God had given Adam dominion over the whole earth. Well, we see exactly how it happened. Over in Genesis chapter 3, Satan, working through a serpent, spoke. Some people know the devil's a talker. Yeah, he's a big talker. He's a big talker. You know, he's likened to a snake. And here he's working through a snake. Do you ever see a snake's tongue? Man, that thing never stops moving. Tongue's always moving. That snake's tongue's always moving. See, it's the type of the devil. He doesn't shut up. His tongue is always going. He's always yapping. He's always yapping. And yet, here, so many people that have authority over him and have God's promises remain silent when Satan is hissing in their ears and seeking to bring his will to pass in their life. Man, we got to speak up. I said, we got to speak up. Put the devil in his place. Adam didn't do that. Adam had the dominion over the earth. God had given it to him. And yet, here is the devil talking to Eve. Eve's listening. And he's telling her about this tree over here, the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't touch the tree. Well, God said, don't eat of it. God said, don't eat of the tree, for the day you eat of the tree, you're going to surely die. Well, she's over there with Adam looking at the tree. And the devil tells you, you're not going to die. God knows the day you eat the tree, you know, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. God's trying to keep things from you. You can eat the tree. I give you permission. And so the Bible says in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, this is an amazing thing. Adam is standing right there the whole time. You think at first that the devil's just having this conversation with Eve. Because you never even hear from Adam. There's nothing said about Adam. He's just standing there completely silent. He's not saying a word. He's just taking it all in. He's just taking it all in. God has spoken to him, but he's not saying what God said. He's just standing there listening, taking it all in. And so the woman, she's listening. She didn't hear from God for herself like Adam did. So she don't know. So she goes ahead. She's deceived. She eats of it. And she turns around to him. And he's just sitting there as quiet as can be. And he hands it to her. She hands it to him. And he eats. And the whole earth comes under a curse. All of mankind from that point on will now grow up in darkness. The earth is full of evil. The devil has taken over. How was he able to take over? Because the man that could do something about it remained silent. He remained silent. He didn't say a thing. Had he spoken up, he could have overcome the devil. But thank God, several years later, another would come. And the Bible refers to him over in 2 Corinthians as the last Adam. The Adam we were just talking about is the first Adam. But then comes the last Adam. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after 40 days of not eating, the devil came to him and began his hissing. He began talking. And notice in Luke chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "And the devil said to him." Everybody say, "said to him." "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." This is a very real temptation. Jesus is hungry. And that devil's causing the moon, the reflection of the moon on the rock, to look like the stone over there, to look like butter flowing down the stone. And he says, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him. He did something the first Adam did not do. He simply answered him. Friend, we got to learn from the master and learn to speak up. Everybody say, "Speak up." Turn to somebody and tell them, "Speak up. I can't hear you." We got to get excited about speaking up when it comes to this good news, when it comes to our authority. Jesus answered. Jesus just didn't sit there and look at the bread, the potential bread, looking at the rock. And as the moon moved and the clouds passed through the moon, it really looked like the bread had life to it. And he had sat there long enough and thought about it, he started to smell it. And he started to imagine what it would be like. And his imagination just got carried away with him. And next thing you know, he was overcome. And began to yield to the devil. And began to pursue his lust for food. Thank God that didn't happen. But it has happened far too many times in the lives of God's people. Far too many times in the lives of God's people. The Bible says that we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And yet all these Christians being dragged off into these demonic, oppressive prison camps by little demons. The devil's got them around the collar, dragging them off into these prison camps. And they're just dragging their sword. They got the sword. They're just dragging it. Some of them just got it in their sheath. They got the Word of God in their heart. "I got God's Word in my heart." That's nice. Put it in your mouth. Because if you don't put it in your mouth, it do you no good in your heart. I said, if you don't put God's Word in your mouth, it do you no good in your heart. You have to speak out God's Word. Thank God Jesus spoke up. He answered the devil. And he didn't just answer with his feelings. He answered him with the Word of God. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You know, if you just speak what you know to be true, boy, it would just put things in their proper perspective very quickly. Very quickly. If you don't speak up, then you begin to think what the devil's offering you is some great thing. And it just, you know, your imagination, everything just gets carried away with it. But if you just speak up and answer it, and you begin to speak what God's Word says about it, and begin to talk about and put things in their proper perspective, those things will just diminish before you. The pull, the temptation of it all will just diminish before you. And you will just find yourself easily overcoming him with the word of your testimony. You will easily overcome him with the word of your testimony. But if you don't speak, you will be easily overcome by the word of temptation. But you got to speak up. That's the whole key. That's the whole key. Now, later on in Jesus' life, a time came where the enemy was coming again. And this time, Jesus opened not his mouth. He did not answer the devil and his accusers. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, it says, he was oppressed. Talking about Jesus. He was oppressed. And he was afflicted. Yet, he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus remained silent, but it was because he was to become a sacrifice for you and I. He was to become our sin. He was to be afflicted for us. He was to become oppressed with our oppression. He was to become every evil thing so that you and I could be set free from evil. And how did he become oppressed? By remaining silent. How did he become sinful? He became our sin. Our sinfulness. How did he become sinful? He opened not his mouth. He remained silent. By not speaking, he became sinful. By not saying what he knew and using his authority, he became oppressed and afflicted. Do you want to be oppressed and afflicted? Then we need to speak up. Because if you don't speak up, then you get afflicted. You get oppressed. You fall to sin and become sinful. Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32, verse 1. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Turn to someone and say, silent no more. How many want their bones to grow old? That don't sound good, does it? No. I want good bones. But notice it says, while he remained silent, his bones grew old. He aged. Through my groaning all the day long. Well, I guess he opened his mouth a little bit, didn't he? He groaned. He groaned. He was whining. Oh. You know, people can't open their mouth. A lot of times they open it, fill it with the wrong thing, with their feelings, with their, what they're experiencing, their circumstances. They're not saying what they've heard from the Word of God, what they've heard from the Lord. He says in verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. Why? He remained silent. He lost his vitality, his vigor, because he remained silent. He didn't speak the good news. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, now we're getting somewhere. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. I'm not going to cover it like Adam did. I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to speak it and take responsibility for it. I'm going to declare it with confidence in the mercy of God, in this blood covenant that I have with the Lord. He says, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Well, once that happens, things start happening in your bones for the good. Things start turning around. Verse 6, for this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you. Are you godly? Do you pray? Praise God. In a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters they shall come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. That's one of the ways you can say. That's one of the ways you can speak what God has done for you. You can sing it. You can sing it. That's why it's important what we sing. We want to sing words that agree with God's word. We want to sing words that declare all his promises. That they are yes and they are amen. Hallelujah. And we can just repeat it and repeat it and repeat a good chorus of the word of God. And that'll just do you good. I said that'll do you good. That'll be a preservative. Praise God. Some of you didn't know it. While you were praising him tonight, you were spraying yourself with preservative. His presence. God's presence is a preservative that comes upon your life when you praise him. God's word is a preservative that is sprayed upon your life when you praise him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise him, declaring the promises of God, singing about his deliverance. I will surround myself with songs of deliverance. It'll preserve your life. Verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. You know, you got to do that with your mouth. Rejoicing would look kind of strange if you like this. Right? I mean, something's coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Rejoice and rejoice, you righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Get loud about it. Shout it out. Declare it. Proclaim it. Surround yourself with it. When you go into a place, bless God, let people hear it. Tell them. Tell them the good news. Tell them what the Lord has done for you lately. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. This is the very reason why the Spirit of God has come upon us and has empowered us, has baptized us with himself. We've been empowered to declare the good news. One of the evidences of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Praise God. But it don't stop with you just speaking in tongues to God. It is speaking the good news. And there's an anointing that comes on you when you speak the good news. There's an anointing that comes on you. Remember Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Witnesses. He says, that's what you're going to be. You're going to be a witness to me. The Amplified Bible says it this way, but you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me. My Spirit's going to come upon you, and he's going to enable you to tell people about me. That's how important it is for you to tell people about Jesus. Tell people about the good news. It's so important that God says, I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to put my Spirit on you. I'm going to empower you to do this. I'm not even going to trust you to just do it in yourself. I'm going to be right there with you. We got to get this good news out. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. We got to spread this good news. We got to take it everywhere, to all the different parts of the world. And I'm going to empower you to do it. Are you a witness? Well, think about it. What is a witness? Someone who tells people about Jesus. And it's not just something you do, it's something you are. I mean, it's your nature. You've got the nature of God on your life now. And it's to be a witness. It's not just something, you know, you're going to do casually once in a while. This is who you are now. I'm a witness. I'm a teller. Not a bank teller. A gospel teller. I'm a believer teller. I'm a teller. I got a full-time job. I'm a teller. It's who I am. It's who I am. Somebody say, I'm a teller too. That's right. You're a teller too, if you tell. It's who you are. It's who you are. And if you aren't who you say you are, then who are you? Yes, I'm a witness, but I don't tell anybody. When was the last time you told somebody? When was the last time you really aggressively told somebody? Well, let me think for a minute. No, this is who we are. If we're not who we say we are, then who are we? He came upon us so that we'd be tellers, that we would tell people about him. But unfortunately, in the body of Christ in general, we have more whiners than we have witnesses. And we need to get that turned around. We got to stop being a whiner and be the witness that he has anointed us to be. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh baptism of the fire of God, not so that we can just go, ooh. Oh, did you feel that? Ooh, what an experience. No, it's to tell. He didn't say, and the Spirit will come upon you, and he'll massage you, and he's going to make you feel good about you, and he's going to make you just love being you. He's going to come upon you for you. No, he said, I'm going to put my Spirit upon you, and you're going to be a teller of me. You're going to be a talker about me. And so think about that. Think about how wrong it would be to not only have all this good news, not only have all this faith, not only to hear all these great things and understand all these great things and not share it, but to also have the power of the Holy Spirit upon our life. And we've experienced the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we're not telling it. We're still not telling. We're still not telling. It's an evil thing. It's an evil thing. Now, it's become so normal, we don't view it as an evil thing, but that's why we got to renew our mind. And we got to say, oh, Lord, forgive us. Now, Lord, we got to get this right, and I thank you for helping me to get this right. Praise God. I'm going to overcome the devil. I'm going to overcome temptation. I'm going to overcome evil because I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell others that good news. And I'm telling you, that's when that anointing is going to get stronger on your life. That anointing, that power of God. And that is a preservative on your life. You've been sprayed with a preservative, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's on you to be a witness. And as you're a witness, that baptism, that power of God on your life increases, and it preserves you, protects you, and no weapon formed against you would ever prosper. Can you say yes? Oh, hallelujah. This is good news. I said, this is good news. That we have these great promises, and we've got to get it out. We've got to share it. We've got to share it with others. Somebody says, well, you know, I just believe actions speak louder than words. You know, I go out and I don't say much to folks, but I just let my light shine. What's your light? My smile. Oh. My good work ethic. You know, Muslims have good work ethic. I know some good Buddhists that have good work ethic. I know some really perverse people. Excellent work ethic. Well, I'm just really nice to people. I'm friendly. Oh, that's nice. I'm a very friendly person. Oh, okay. That's being a witness? No. That's being deceived. That's believing lies. That's being cowardly and making excuses for it. But we don't want to be making excuses about being cowardly. We want to let our light shine. What is our light? Jesus said that men may observe your good works. Well, there it is, Pastor. It's good works. Yeah, but what are good works according to the Bible? It's faith, words, and action. It's faith, words, and action. Works, according to the Bible, are faith, words, in action. We all know that faith without words are dead. Faith without words is dead. Oh, I'm sorry. Faith without works is dead. But friend, equally so, faith without words is dead, because actually our works are just our words in action. And if there's no words, there's no action. And the reality of it is our actions in life are our words in action. That's right. Our actions in life are our words in action. So before there's actions, there's words. Faith without works is dead. Faith without words is dead, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "And we having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken." See, I didn't just believe. I have spoken. I have spoken. And it's not just speaking to yourself, but it's speaking to others. How do you maintain a spirit-filled life? Well, Ephesians chapter 5 tells us by speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, including others, singing to others. Romans chapter 10. Let's go there. Romans 10th chapter. No, faith without words is dead. Just like faith without works is dead, because the works that it's talking about is our words in action. Romans chapter 10. And in verse 6, it says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks." Now, you could just stop there, praise God, and say, "I got it." The righteousness of faith. How many people are righteous through faith in Jesus? Well, bless the Lord, speak. That righteousness, that faith speaks in this way. Do not say, it's not silent, it speaks. Do not say, if it's silent, it's not speaking, then it's not the righteousness of faith. Did you get that? If it's silent and not speaking, it's not the righteousness of faith. I want to walk in the righteousness of faith every day. That means I need to be speaking. I need to be speaking it, because it speaks. In other words, give expression to it. He says, do not say, here's something not to say, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. What does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. Where is it? It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So we see clearly. Just like faith without works is dead, faith without words is dead. You got to have words. You got to give words to your faith. You got to speak your faith. And again, it isn't just speaking to yourself. You got to speak it out to others. You got to share others, because as we talked about, holding it in, keeping it to yourself is an evil thing. It's an evil thing. Because we've got some great news, don't we? I said we got some great news, and we got to share it with others. There were many times where Jesus told people to go tell their experience to others. In Mark chapter 5, verse 19, he says to one man, go home to your friends and tell them. Does anybody have any friends? How about some coworkers? He says, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Why is Jesus telling him to do that? Two reasons. You know what they are? Number one, because he wants other people to experience what this man experienced. He wants other people to hear the good news. He wants other people to get saved. He wants other people to hear about the compassion of God and be delivered. That's number one. Number two, he wants the man, go tell everybody, tell your friends, tell everybody the great things God's done for you. Because why? Because it'll consummate what God has done for you and cause it to be, cause it to remain in your life and increase in your life. But if you walk away after being blessed and go silent on the Lord and don't share it with anybody else, you're going to end up losing this great deliverance that you received. People lose their healing. People lose all kinds of things. They go home with a blessing, then they lose the blessing. They lose all kinds of things. They lose their way. A lot of people, they just lose their way. They start fumbling and falling, and they're not walking in the righteousness of God anymore. Jesus said, go tell. He said, you go home, and you don't go home and act, just let your friends see your glow and hope they see the glow. There's something different about you. And I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you. Something's different, but I'm not. Don't wait for somebody to figure out something's different and then try to figure it out. And like, let's all get together and figure this guy out. They're not going to do it. Grab the opportunity, get in there, and you tell them. Well, I'm going to wait until, they see. He said, just go home and tell them. Tell them what just happened to you. It's very important, very important. Luke chapter 8, verse 39. Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed it throughout the whole city, what great things Jesus had done for him. Wow. This guy remained delivered. The demons could not get back in because he was demon-possessed. And the Lord Jesus delivered him from those demons. Remember, Jesus said that there's those that when the demons are cast out of them, they try to find rest and they go through dry and waterless places and they can't find any. So then they return back to the guy that they were cast out of, and they get with them seven more demons more wicked than them, and they go in and they possess that guy, and he's worse than he was before. How can we prevent that from happening? How can we prevent being worse than we were before? Go tell. Go tell. Go tell. He didn't just say, go in your room and tell yourself over and over and over. Confess to yourself the great things God has done for you. Sure, tell yourself, but don't stop there. This guy ran out and told the whole city. And you know what? The whole city came to see Jesus the next time he passed by. And people's lives were changed because of it. Luke chapter 13, verse 31. On that very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. The devil wants to kill you. And he said to them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons, and I perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Go tell him something. So you got to answer him back. Devil's threatening your life. Tell him something. Let me tell you, devil, I'm a devil caster outer. Matthew chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. Go tell him. Matthew chapter 28, verse 7. Now Jesus has risen from the dead. An angel appeared and said, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. I have told you. Now go tell. Go tell his disciples. Go tell him. Matthew 28:10, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Go tell them, go tell them, it's good news. I've risen from the dead, go tell them I've risen from the dead. Well, what happens if they don't believe? Go tell them anyway. John chapter 20, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. We need to be like Mary. It's just like Mary. We need to go tell people what the Lord has told us. These are the things the Lord has told me. I think they'll be a blessing to you. John chapter 4, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They went out of the city and came to him. Go tell. You got to tell. She went and told. And a revival broke out in Samaria. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. You can't keep it to yourself. You can't keep it to yourself. You got to go tell somebody. You get to go tell somebody. I said, you get to go tell somebody. It's not a got to. It's a get to. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. We got good news. Oh, man. With all this bad, negative, fake news that's out there these days, you and I got the truth. We got the good news. And we are witnesses. This is who we are. I think it's time to just let people know I'm a witness. I'm a teller. That's who I am. Well, I don't quite like it. Well, I got to tell you anyway. And if they don't listen, turn to somebody else and say, can I tell you something? Why do you always have to tell people these things? I can't help myself. This is who I am. I'm a teller. I'm a teller. And if I'm not who I say I am, then who am I? I'm probably becoming something else. And it's probably not the best. So I want to be all that I can be according to the Word of God. Don't you? So we got to get stirred up and stop being, well, they might think I'm, that you are. You are. You're nuts. You're holy. You're set apart. You're sanctified. You're a Christian. You're a Jesus freak. You're a fanatic. It's who you are. Wake up. Get over it. Get real. Right? The world's crying out for something real. You're it. You're a real witness. Not a fake witness. You're not a witness in disguise. No such thing. No such thing in a witness, being a witness in disguise. Can you say amen? Amen? We're a witness. Just say it like it is. This is who I am. Bless God, like it or lump it. Here I am. Amen? Praise God forever. Somebody say, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell others. My family, my friends, whoever I come in contact with. They're going to know who I am and the great things God has done for me and that he'll do it for them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand on your feet. Praise his holy name forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So a lot of people, you know, they're struggling with doing the right thing. Start saying the right thing. Just start saying the right thing. Start sharing it, and it will hold you in a place of accountability with others too. See? You start proclaiming the gospel. The Bible likens that to armor around your feet. Right? He says, part of the armor of God is shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What do you mean? Well, go back over to Isaiah. He said, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who proclaim good news. See? So, see, when you're proclaiming the good news, your feet are beautiful, your feet are protected. And your feet represent your contact with this world, this fallen world. So you will be protected from all the kind of nasty things in the world if you're a proclaimer on the mountaintops, on the housetops. You're a proclaimer of the good news. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord for it tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.